Good morning. It is now 9:58 a.m. We are here today, July 5th, 2016, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPAPA 16-002, 1A Guam Webs versus Guam Community College. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Llewellyn Terlahi, Jarek Hernandez, and Edlyn Dalase. Will Appellant 1A Guam Webs please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Sure. My name is John Bell. I'm the attorney for Guam Webs. I have with me my legal secretary, Hamani Taitano, and I'll let Mr. Sharma introduce himself.
Good morning. My name is Rajesh K. Sharma, also known as Raj, from 1A Guam Webs. I'm the president of Guam Webs.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency Guam Community College please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Wrightson. I'm with Cabot Mountain Union. We're the attorneys for GCC. And with me today from GCC is the president of GCC, Dr. Mary Okada.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Well, before we begin, the first preliminary issue is witnesses. Now, to my understanding, in the back row, those are all the subpoenaed witnesses from GCC. Is that correct, Ms. Wrightson?
That's correct.
And Mr. Bell, do you still plan on calling all those witnesses?
I did have a couple housekeeping issues.
Well, let's address that one first. Let's address the people first, please.
Sure. If there's a chance that GCC would be willing to stipulate to the issue of WSI's license, some of them were just strictly to authenticate licensing documents and attest to that effect. I could dismiss a couple of them right off the bat, unless that's still an issue that GCC wants to pursue.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
So it's our position that WSI was unlicensed from June 30th, 2013.
Well, how about this? Let's go off the record for 5 minutes. I'll let you confer with Ms. Wrightson.
Sure.
And if there's the possibility that some of GCC's witnesses could be released, that would be good. If not, just come in here and tell me, and we'll proceed with the witnesses. So I'll give you about 5 minutes to have that conference outside. And we're off the record at 10:01. We're back on the record at 10:06 a.m. And so what were the results of your sidebar with Ms. Wrightson?
Yes, thank you. And I should have spoken a little bit more clearly. And it's not GCC's witnesses that I was able to not need, but because GCC was willing to stipulate that WSI was unlicensed from June 30th, 2013 to March 11th, 2016, or at least had not renewed their license, if that's...
Okay, yes. We will agree that they had not renewed their license from June 30th, 2013 to March 11th, 2016.
So 6/30/2013?
Yes.
Okay, 2013 to when?
March
11th, 2016. So March 11th. 2016. So the stipulation is that, and which entity is this? I'm sorry.
This is WSI. That's the company that had won the bid.
All right. So the parties, for the record, stipulate that between June the 30th of 2013 to March the 11th, 2016, WSI, that entity did not have a Guam business license?
They had not renewed their business license.
They had not renewed their business license. Is that an acceptable?
Yes, and that negates the need to call Ashley Beneventi from Reventas and Hillary Mandy Tobis from Guam Webs. And honestly, it negates a lot of my questions of the witnesses. Or, it saves a lot of time.
Guam business license. But that doesn't extinguish any of the witnesses that are...
But some of the questions were related to the license, and so some of the questions are still relevant, but at least we don't have to deal with the factual issue of whether or not there is a license.
And for those who are witnesses, and I believe there are six of you sitting in the...
But not Carmen Santos.
Not Carmen, I apologize. Five of you sitting in the back row. What we're going to do is we're going to have to put you in our witness waiting room, which is also known as the OPA conference room on the fourth floor. Sorry, yes, it is cold, as you've all been warned. Think warm thoughts, that's all I can advise you. My trick is to try to take the seats next to the window where the sun hits. Is somebody here to be okay to bring them down there? All right, so the witnesses then will be transferred there. Apologize until you're called. Hopefully that'll be soon.
And in what order would they be called? Do you have? Is it in any?
Yes, ma'am. I have Mr. Holly. Holly's not here. I have Dr. Okada, and then Ms. Jolene Evangelista, and then I have Ms. Debbie Duenas, Mr. Francisco Camacho, Ms. Jean Flores, and then Ms. Angela Cabrera.
Is there any way that we can take the GCC employees out of order first? How long do you anticipate their questioning to take?
I honestly not long. Depend my direct, the longest, depending on how the witness answers, obviously, 20, 30 minutes, probably even the long one, maybe 30 minutes.
I can understand the main witnesses, of course, Ms. Okada, the president, Mr. Raj, might take a while, I anticipate. So if there's any way we can get the GCC employees out of here sooner,
okay,
rather than later, I would appreciate that.
Sure. I can sort of go in order of maybe the shortest to the longest?
Well, just to, okay, could the people in the back please identify themselves by name of witnesses?
Why don't we start with the gent? There's one.
Are you a witness?
Oh.
Okay, so she's not required, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay,
So Ms. Benavente, you are actually excused because of the stipulation.
All right, thank you.
And all the rest are just looking at you with envy as you walk out the door. All right, and the next person is?
Francisco Camacho, GCC.
All right, so.
And Angela Guerrero.
Jane Flores.
All right, so if we can please go in that order, if they're, and I believe all of those witnesses would be fairly quick.
Yes, absolutely. And I apologize if I can repeat the order, make sure I understood. Was it first Mr. Camacho first?
Any of those people first, just
Mr.
so that
Camacho,
you know,
Ms. Cabrera, yeah, and Ms. Flores.
Yeah, if they're just some factual witnesses, for some quick factual questions I'd rather we get through that first, before we take the witnesses that are going to take maybe 2 hours apiece.
Sure.
All right. And I anticipate that Raj and Ms. Okada might take that long. Is that my understanding?
It could be. Depends on how the questions are answered. But at least my questioning is relatively brief.
All right. But none of those witnesses sitting in the back row would be that long.
No.
All right. Good. So I'm going to, let's see here. So who are you going to call first so I can have him kind of waiting outside?
I would call Mr. Camacho first, if that's okay.
All right, so Mr. Camacho, you'll stay up here. And the rest of the witnesses, we will try to get to as quickly as we can. They're going to the OPA conference room.
And Edlin will escort you down. That's on the fourth floor.
I do have a couple housekeeping issues.
In a minute. Before we begin, any preliminary matters, and I believe you had a few. Go ahead.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there. But there was two documents that I would seek to exclude. One of them is a document that was filed on June 1st. It's the February 15th, 8:56 a.m. timestamp. It was added to tab 8 by GCC, and my basis for seeking to exclude it is that it should have been part of the agency report, and per 2GAR 12105G. GCC was required to fully respond to the appeal at the time the agency report was due, and the failure of an appellant or any interested party to comply with the time limit stated in this section may result in resolution of the appeal without consideration of the comments untimely filed, and that's per 2GAR 12104C5.
May result, but what prejudice? First of all, this is tab.
Sorry, this is tab 8. It was a June 1st addition to the tab 8 that GCC was supplementing to the record.
Okay. And how are you prejudiced? prejudiced, if at all, by the exclusion of that document from the agency report?
Essentially, we have alleged that we don't know what time WSI actually submitted its bid. We know that on February 14th, we have it's in the record that Wamba submitted its bid at 9:30. GCC has stated on the record that there's no reason for that. GCC doesn't, as a matter of practice, timestamp the bids, and so we had FOIA'd that, the entire record, that we had no, this wasn't produced via FOIA request, and GCC had said in this appeal on the record, my takeaway was, that's not a thing, and we don't timestamp the bids. And so to produce it later, months into the appeal, to say, oh, now we have a timestamp, I frankly am questioning the authenticity of that document, because it wasn't produced before. We were essentially told that there isn't one, and then produce it later, at the very least on the basis of,
So this is WSI's timestamp bid from GCC?
Correct.
All right. And do you have anything else on that?
Just that it was submitted very late, and after being essentially told that it doesn't exist.
Ms. Wrightson, on the motion to exclude tab 8, GCC supplemental, is that supplemental report?
Yes, it was the last two pages of that report. And I would note that not only did we submit the timestamp pages for WSI, we also submitted a timestamp page for GWAWBLEMS. These pages are from GCC's official record. Now, in response to Mr. Bell's motion, I would note that, first of all, the public auditor and the hearing officer are well aware supplementing the record in the agency board is a common practice in front of OPA when a question arises regarding arising a document or documents are inadvertently admitted. And as an example, I would refer to the appeal of Triple J Motors, which is number OPA PA-15-015, and the appeal of Carando Corporation, which is OPA PA-15-009. Now here, the appellant GWAWBLEMS has repeatedly refused to accept the bid abstract as evidence that WSI had timely submitted its bid. So in response to that, we provided further evidence of the timestamp cover pages from GCC's file. And second, the items that are mandated to be part of the procurement record, which would be then filed with OPA, are stated in 5 GCA section 5429, and they're repeated again in 2 GARTH section 3129. And these laws do not require a timestamp cover page to be made part of the procurement record. Third, and although that GCC does not The law does not require GCC to maintain these items as part of the procurement record, GCC does keep them. And I would offer today, as Exhibit K, the form that was used to prepare the procurement record, which is in the procurement record that was filed here at page 303. And this form is a form that is created by the Attorney General's Office. And Ms. Evangelista is prepared to testify that she assembled the procurement record that was filed with OPA in accordance with this form. And this form does not have the timestamp cover pages as part of the procurement record. And fourth, at the risk of sounding repetitive, the only reason we supplemented the agency report with the timestamp pages is because the appellant GWAWBLEMS has refused to accept the bid abstract, which was at the bid opening, which is the deadline for the bid packets to be submitted. They refuse to accept the bid abstract as evidence that WSI had timely submitted its bid.
What do you have any response to that?
Simply, just because it was said that we're not required to keep a record of the timestamp. This is in my hearing brief. On page 2, per 2 bar 3109L1, upon its receipt, each bid of modification shall be timestamped, but not open, and shall be stored in a secured place until the time and date set for bid opening. So that is something that GCC is required to do.
Well, and I would also note that GCC, Jolene Evangelista, has brought with her today the timestamp cover pages, the actual envelopes that the two bids were submitted in.
Well, here's the question I have for GCC is, why weren't the, I'm going to have to agree with Mr. Bell that there's that portion of the procurement record that he's just cited. which specifically requires the time stamping of the bids. There's the other portion of the procurement record that states all correspondence between the purchasing agency and the bidders shall be part of the procurement record. Now, even though that broad language doesn't specifically state the timestamp page, nevertheless, its broad language would encompass the same requirement that that be part of the procurement record. Am I correct?
I would say that it could be made part of the procurement record, yes.
Could.
Whether it's required to be made part of the procurement record that is filed with OPA, I think, is a different story.
I would have you look at that portion of the what the procurement record requires, in particular the correspondence, the communications, and the log of the communications. Because we've had these issues come up before, several times. I thought that our prior rulings on the matter, which have been sustained by the Superior Court of Guam, had ended the narrow reading of the disclosure portions of Guam's procurement law, what is a public record and what's not. In any event, I'm going to have to agree with Mr. Bell that the procurement record does include the timestamped bid pages. My question is, why were they not provided to Mr. Bell before?
And my understanding is that the procurement record was assembled according to the form that is provided from the AG's office, which is in the procurement record that was filed with OPA at page number 303. And my understanding, and Ms. Evangelista can testify to this, is that she didn't understand that the timestamp pages were necessary because the bid abstract showed that all of the bids were timely submitted because the deadline was the bid opening.
And I'm sure that Mr. Bell, you did receive the bid abstract when you were supposed to.
Correct.
On that note, I'm going to deny your request to exclude the timestamp bid pages simply for the fact that it's more or less cumulative information in terms of when the bids were received. That pretty much is set forth in the bid abstract, which you did receive. Although you received the time-stamped pages late, I don't find that you would have suffered any prejudice because you had received the bid abstract earlier. I will also put this decision in writing, and this will be part of my or the OPA's written decision in this matter. Any other housekeeping matter?
One more.
Before we go up there, I would like to just make a comment, and this is more for GCC and the agencies, and again, just to state for the record also, and I think your decision needs to also encompass that. Everything that is part of the procurement record, everything, every sheet of paper, every email, are all part of the procurement record, and all of those things are to be given to OPA, not to selectively decide this doesn't belong, therefore this will only give you this portion or that portion. And this, I think the courts have said, even prior to even deciding the pre-negotiations or the pre-conference in deciding whether or not you're going to go here is all also part of the procurement record. We had a recent case by Judge Barcinas that also included it. So just to state for the record, every piece of paper, every email correspondence is all part of the procurement record, and all of those items are to be given to OPA and not think to be selectively decided, well, because this checklist doesn't have it, therefore we don't need to put it yet. You know, just to be clear.
I will pass that on.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, based on the foregoing, Mr. Bell, the motion to exclude tab 8 is denied. Anything else?
Yes, please. There was a declaration of Mr. Wesley Gima. It was just submitted on Friday. We had talked about Mr. Gima being on leave during this period. The OPA had, or hearing officer had talked about the possibility of him, testifying via Skype. I don't know that there was any final order one way or the other issued, but I will acknowledge I didn't subpoena him because I was told he's gone. I certainly didn't anticipate a declaration on Friday being, well, here's his testimony. I do move to exclude that as hearsay. I know that we're not operating strictly under the federal rules of evidence. Having said that, it's an out of, in this case, hearing statement made for the truth of the matter submitted on Friday. I mean, at the very least, if you're gonna submit a declaration in place of witness testimony, I think that should have been done much earlier. And yeah, to allow that kind of hearsay in at the very, very last minute without us having any opportunity whatsoever to cross-examine him on some key issues. I can talk briefly about what they are. Essentially, a couple of things that he's saying is, one, he's explaining why the bid review team met on February 16th, why so quick, which is one of my points of contention. And then another thing he said was, he's essentially explaining why, and it's all the more interesting that he's the one explaining this, because we don't allege that he made any errors, but he's appears to be explaining why the bid review team could make errors, and it has to do with, well, this WSI, by simply stating you understand it will comply, is easier to follow than OneWeb's proposal, where you actually have to read it and, you know, follow along. So based on hearsay, to me this is extremely prejudicial hearsay, because I can't cross-examine him. He's testifying as to the truth of really key issues of contention on Friday before the hearing after a three-day weekend. I think would be unfair.
Ms. Wrightson, on the motion to exclude the Yima declaration.
Yes, well, and first of all, I would note that the last time we were here on June 21st, it was decided that we could submit a declaration in lieu of Mr. Yima's testimony.
I believe those were the discussions, or in the alternative,
I asked the
parties, essentially, if you wanted to make them available on Skype, that was the other possibility.
That was my, and I could be wrong, I will happily stand corrected, but what I recall exactly, even it was, these were just possibilities that were discussed. We had discussed, granted off the record, the possibility of if somebody's going to be unavailable, can we agree to, I was going to have the opportunity to actually interview this person, and then based on my interview, then we will prepare a declaration, and then we will submit that, which was very, very different from just submitting a declaration on Friday before the hearing without me being aware that the GCC intends to submit a declaration.
How many
idea what it says?
How many pages is the declaration?
It's 1, 2, 3. Three pages.
Three pages. And there are no exhibits or attachments to this declaration?
No.
This declaration?
14 points, but no exhibits. Well, 14 paragraphs, but no exhibits.
Okay, I'm going to deny your motion to exclude the Yima declaration. This will also be written as part of the order as a preliminary issue. Simply on the grounds that the formal rules of civil procedure do not apply to put those rules against hearsay. Further, Mr. Yima, as we discussed him essentially, if he wasn't going to be here, instead of delaying it, we gave the parties the option to put his testimony via declaration or try to have him appear by Skype. Finally, although we're going to admit the declaration, you will still, in your closing arguments, be able to, just like any other witness who takes a stand, if you feel that there are items of the declaration that are simply not true and you have evidence to corroborate that, you can point that out in your closing argument and try to argue what credibility and weight the OPA should give that declaration, just like you can do the same with any other witness that takes a stand today. So that motion is also denied. Is there anything else, Mr. Duff?
No, sir.
Ms. Wrightson, are there any preliminary matters for GCC?
Well, since we've decided that we've stipulated to WSI not having a renewed business license from June 30 to 2013, I would also like to go on record that we also believe that the status of a party's, of one of the bidder's business licenses for the purposes of its IFB is irrelevant.
Okay, well, Yeah, that's more toward, once again, your closing argument. That's
yes,
a fact.
I understand.
You can argue the relevance or whether, you know, you can argue the relevance of that particular fact during your closing argument. And if you have anything else to corroborate your belief that it's irrelevant, you certainly may do so at that point in time. Is there anything else?
That would be all.
All right. So we're going to proceed in the order set forth in the notice of the scheduling order. And because Mr. Bell, this is Guam Webb's appeal, you have the floor for your opening statement.
Sure. Does the hearing officer have any preferences? I may just sit here. Would that be okay?
No, you can. Yeah, of course you're going to sit there. We just relax space here. You don't have to stand either, so
thank
be
you.
Comfortable. Please.
In January 2016, GCC issued a bid invitation for website services, quote, for a three-year contract with option to renew annually for two additional consecutive years, end quote.
Well, hang on, before you proceed, I apologize. Mr. Camacho?
Yes.
So because we're going to start the opening arguments and you're going to be a witness, you're going to be the first witness. I have to ask you to just step out of the room. You don't have to go downstairs, but if you can just step out for and just be available, because just in a few minutes we'll be calling you to give your testimony, but I don't want you to hear the arguments of the parties before your testimonies. That might influence or shape it.
I'm not off the chair.
Yes, you may
oh,
take
the chair.
Oh,
please, take
yes,
the chair. No,
yes,
please.
Definitely. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead and take one of the chairs. Yeah, that one.
Mr. Bell, are there any any other witnesses in the room? I know that Raj and Ms. Okada are both going to be witnesses, but each of the parties are entitled to have an institutional representative. I believe they are both fulfilling that role sitting here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so please proceed.
Sure. GCC also warned it, quote, will not consider for award any offer submitted by a vendor who has not complied with the Guam licensing law, end quote. GCC further required the description of the literature must, quote, show that the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of this solicitation. Failure to furnish the descriptive literature by the time specified in solicitation will require rejection of the bid, end quote. GCC stated its policy was to award bids to qualified local bidders. GCC would go on to note that WSI was its current website provider, but didn't say why it wasn't unhappy with its current website. WAMWEB timely submitted its bid at 9:30 on February 15th. We don't really know when WSI submitted its bid. What we know is that months into the appeal, GCC produced a timestamp of 8:56 a.m.
Objection. The hearing officer has ruled on this issue.
This goes to weight, to credibility.
Okay, first of all, Mr. Bell,
sure.
This is not the time to argue your case. This is just to illustrate what you believe the evidence will show.
Okay.
In the opening statement. Have that opportunity at the end, but as this is a opening statement, of course the statement is not evidence of any kind, just argument. I'm going to deny your objection, Ms. Wrightson. Please proceed.
Sorry, I tried to avoid that. I'll try to rephrase. There's no dispute that each and every page of WSI's bid was marked confidential despite being licensed, as we've stipulated. WSI requested and received local procurement preference, or said another way, what was said was it wasn't considered since both were considered local. The day after the bids were received, all of the following happened in one day. GCC formed a bid review team, which was asked to make a selection within 2 weeks. The team reviewed the bids. Without considering local preference, found WSI to be cheaper. Yet GCC's procurement officer told Dr. Okada that the review team found WSI was also the most responsive and responsible, which was not true. And again, all the same day, Dr. Okada accordingly approved the award of the bid to WSI. This is just the record, to my understanding, is not contested. It was only a week later, on February 2013, that GuamWebs received notice that WSI had won the bid. Within 2 days, GuamWebs sent a FOIA request to GCC requesting, among other things, quote, all records pertaining to the review, discussion, evaluation, and scoring, end quote. There's no dispute, much of WSI's winning proposal was simply the proclamation that WSI understands and will comply to the bid specifications. GCC's FOIA response stated that GCC's specifications and scope caused GCC to select WSI over Guam Lives. I say caused because Mr. Sharma had asked what was the basis for that reasoning. He wasn't actually entitled to, or you know, supposed to ask questions, but GCC did submit a response to that question. Also, GCC turned over a mere 25 pages, including just 13 pages of WSI's bid, without making any independent effort to determine which pages were actually confidential under procurement law. I don't want to be argumentative. I base that off of, that's in the record. When Mr. Sharma submitted his FOIA request, they asked WSI which pages are confidential. WSI responded. That was how GCC made the determination. On March 10th, just 9 days after receiving GCC's very sparse procurement record, GCC's procurement record, Guam Webs filed its protest based on GCC's failure to fairly or accurately review the bids and WSI's lack of license. That was the basis for Guam Webs' protest. The next day, WSI renewed its license, which had expired years earlier. That has been stipulated. GCC rejected Guam Webs' protest as untimely on the notion that Guam Webs, this is per the words of the rejection letter, the final decision, Guam Webs should have known the reasons for its protest on February 24th, which is the date it had notified, or it was notified that WSI had won the bid. At no point during this appeal has GCC refuted the specific allegations by Guam Webs that GCC's review team failed to give Guam Webs credit in several areas where it properly proposal clearly met the bid specifications. Guam Webs respectfully submits the evidence will show the GCC gave local preference and awarded the bid to an unlicensed bidder, which did not meet the bid requirements, and denied a superior proposal to a duly licensed bidder, which, had it received the local preference, should have won the bid because its proposal was the only responsive and responsible bid, and cheaper as well. That's our position that we hope to prove. And therefore, Guam Webs prays that your office will cancel WSI's contract, which, as a matter of law, we submit should be void ab initio due to Guam Webs' timely protest, and accordingly award the bid to Guam Webs.
Thank you. Ms. Wrightson, GCC's opening statement.
Yes, thank you. Well, compared to some cases on OPA's docket, the instant case is very simple. GCC put out an IFB for a three-year contract with two annual renewals, and the renewals were GCC's sole discretion. This IFB said, build us a website, and then host it and maintain it. Build us a website that does X, Y, and Z. We don't care what development tool you use, just build us a website that does X, Y, and Z. And this IFB said, we don't want to see your business license now, but before we award the contract, show us your business license expiring June 30, 2016. The law requires this as well. Two long-established local companies, and GCC knew they were local companies because both of them have done work for GCC in the past. These two long-established local companies submitted bid packets for GCC's IFB. GCC evaluated these two bidders' proposals based on the scope of work in the IFB. GCC found that both bidders' proposals promised to do exactly what the website requested, and that's build a website that does X, Y, and Z. And because both bidders promised to build a website that does X, Y, and Z, GCC looked at the bidder's pricing. The bidder with the lowest price promised to build GCC a website using its proprietary development tool, which is what the IFB allowed. GCC asked the lowest bidder for its business license, then expiring June 30, 2016. And after the lowest bidder presented its business license, GCC awarded that bidder a contract for 3 years with GCC's option for two annual renewals. Now, as I mentioned, this case is very simple. One statute and its corresponding regulation are really the only law that needs to be consulted to determine whether GCC properly awarded the contract to WSI. Specifically, the statute is 5 GCA 5211, and the regulation is 2 GAR 3109. These laws govern whether GCC properly evaluated the bidder's proposals and properly awarded the contract. It is the appellant's burden to show that GCC did something improper under these laws. But the appellant can't meet its burden. This is so because under 5 GCA 5211 and 2 GAR 3109, GCC did not do anything improper. Therefore, GCC respectfully requests that based on the evidence already in the record, which will only be bolstered by the evidence that you'll hear today, we request that the public auditor should dismiss the instant appeal.
Thank you, Ms. Wrightson. At this time, we're going to move into the evidentiary portion of the proceeding. It is the appellant's case in chief. Mr. Bell, you may call your first witness.
We call Francisco. Mr. Francisco Camacho, please.
Please call Mr. Camacho. Mr. Bell, who are you going to call next so we can, just as it takes time to take the elevator to the fourth floor, bring them up?
Miss Angela Cabrera.
Okay, Miss Angela Cabrera can be placed, and I'll call it the hot seat outside.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name for the record.
Francisco Camacho.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Could you please take the sign-in sheet and put it over there away from the witness? Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Camacho. I believe you already stated your full name for the record. Could you tell me about your position, please, at GCC?
I'm the Data Processing and AI Systems Administrator.
And how long have you
say
been
there? Say that again, I didn't hear.
I'm the Data Processing, MIS, or Management Information Systems Administrator.
Okay. How long have you been in that position?
Since 1999, that's about 16, 17 years.
Okay. And do you consider yourself an IT person?
Yes, I do.
And what are your credentials as an information, just generally speaking, in information technology?
Where do I begin?
Just briefly, education.
Education-wise, I have an AS degree from Guam Community College of Computer Science. I have a master's in instructional and telecommunications in education from Western Illinois University.
And experience? Pretty much what you said at GCC?
Background-wise, I've been in this field since I taught at the college also as an adjunct faculty since 1989 for about 10 years, computer science classes.
So you have some familiarity with website design and maintenance?
Yes, I've been a webmaster at other agencies myself, yeah.
Okay. What does this language mean to you? This is from the IFB. You can produce a copy if you want to refresh your recollection. Projection of the bid will be required if the descriptive literature does not show that the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of the solicitation. Are you familiar with that?
Say the statement again.
Rejection of the bid will be required if the descriptive, there's some parentheses S's, so there's modifications.
Mr. Bell, just so we don't have a messy record, what exactly are you requiring the witness to
Sure. What I'm asking is, Mr.
What specific document is that coming from?
Sorry about that. The IFB.
Okay, was that listed as one of your exhibits?
It was.
Which exhibit number?
I apologize. That was a typo. Was the one thing where we didn't have the. It's actually listed several other places with the exact same question in the same language. So I apologize if I can have one moment.
No, I just need to know what exhibit number
two.
You're getting that language from.
Exhibit 2.
Exhibit 2. All right. What page?
Exhibit 2.
Between pages 25 to 39.
Okay, please proceed.
You were on the bid Purdue team, correct?
Yes.
What is your understanding of that? Are you familiar with the language generally?
Generally, yeah, but can you go ahead and repeat that? Because
sure.
I'm better visually than...
No, no problem. I apologize. We should be able to produce that for you so we can actually hand you the language. I'll repeat it while we're searching for that language. I apologize.
Perhaps it would be faster if you could show Ms. Wrightson a copy of what you intend to show
sure.
the witness and then provide that to the witness. As it's one of your exhibits.
I don't want to hold up the hearing. I honestly, I did skip it.
Okay, please proceed.
Sure.
I'm sorry, so what is it that we're skipping?
My question was simply how he understood the language which was in the bid packet. Rejection of the bid will be required if descriptive literature does not show that the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of this solicitation.
Okay, we're skipping that.
Yes.
Can I understand that? Okay.
So you withdraw that question?
Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Do you know Mr. Carlos Halley-Halley?
Yes, I do.
How long have you known him?
Since we started the contract for the current services of the website.
So you met him through GCC and his current performance of the contract?
Yes.
Did you review each proposal thoroughly?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
Well, we read the documents. We spent about 2 hours reading those documents.
2 hours? What about, how much time would you say you spent reviewing WSI's proposal?
Well, I can't say in between the two how much time I spent on each one because we were reviewing both of them about the same time and comparing each of those specifications.
Would you be able to give me at least an estimate? Is that about 2 hours, correct, total?
Well, in total, we spent about 2 hours together, you know, through the work group discussing.
Sorry, are you saying that you're unable to even guess as to how long you gave them equal time, or if you spent 5 minutes reviewing one and an hour and 55 reviewing the other?
Well, I would say that we had an easier time looking at WSIs because the way that they were organized in the responses to the bids question as opposed to one WebZ where we had to pretty much look all over the place just to find that it meets that spec.
So it's your testimony then that...
So I would say that, yes, we spent less time looking at WSIs because they were pretty much following the organization of the bid specs as opposed to one WebZs where, like I said, we had to pretty much look and sometimes even read between the lines.
Okay. When you determined that WSI was responsive and responsible?
Yes.
Okay. At the time, did you know that it didn't have a business license?
No.
Or had renewed its business license?
No.
I have no further questions.
Ms. Wrightson, your witness for cross-examination.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Camacho, so you have a great deal of experience in IT. And so were you part of the web group that prepared the scope of work for the IFB?
Yes.
Okay, and you were part of the web group that then evaluated the proposals?
Yes.
For the IFB? Okay, and just for the record, why did the web group evaluate the proposals on February 16th?
It was really the only time where we could all meet in a convenient time frame so that, you know, before all the vacation started. That's pretty much the only reason. I mean, we didn't have a way to meet after that.
Okay, so it was the only day that everybody could get together.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And how was it that you evaluated the proposals? Were you given multiple copies of the proposals, or what were you using?
Well, everyone had a chance to take a look at both copies that were provided by the procurement office. I think we were required to receive, I'm not the procurement person, but I believe there's two copies and then one original. We were looking at those.
Okay, so you were provided with the two copies that
yes.
were submitted by the bidders. Okay, thank you. And did the web group evaluate the proposals with any favoritism toward any one bidder?
No.
Okay. And if, because the web group found that both bidders promised to do all the specifications, if OneWeb's had presented the lowest price, would you have awarded, would you have recommended that the contract be awarded to OneWeb's?
Yes.
Okay. And just for the record then, did the web group's evaluation sheets follow the specifications for the IFB's scope of work?
Yes. Pretty much we had every line item of the specs put down on the evaluation sheet.
Okay. And you testified that some responses were, you testified that OneWeb's proposal did not present its specifications, its responses to the scope of work specifications in the same order as IFB, as WSI's did.
That's correct.
Okay, but if you couldn't find all of these specifications, then how was it that you determined that OneWeb's had promised to perform all of the IFB's scope of work?
They also had a statement that says something to the effect that they will meet all those specifications as stated in the bid specs.
As stated in the bid specs?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll be showing the witness page 53 from Exhibit B. And could you please read the highlighted portion for the record?
Number 7 says here, OneWeb agrees to all the items mentioned in the IFB, including those describing requirements and scope of work. OneWeb indeed can meet and exceed all those requirements and can complete the scope of work by deadline indicated in the IFB at July 1st, 2016.
Okay, thank you. So this is the spec that you, the response
Wrightson,
that you found.
Did you show Mr. Bell that document?
I did. He did.
You did? Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so this was the response that the web group then found this response and said, okay, OneWeb promises to do everything.
Pretty much.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember who it was that found this statement?
I believe Wes Gima was the first one that we were all directed to the same page. And I also mentioned that, yes, this is the same one that I saw it earlier myself, but I didn't point it out yet because I was expecting, you know, we were all reviewing it at the same time.
Okay, thank you. And you said, we testified that you were one of the members of the group that prepared the IFB's scope of work specifications.
Yes.
That's correct?
Right.
And did you expect the bidders to fully explain their response to every single specification?
No.
Thank you. All right. And then I'm going to show you GCC's Exhibit H, which is the confidentiality log. I'm showing it to our planning council. Okay, now, Mr. Camacho, you reviewed the entirety of WSI's proposal, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that's a confidentiality log. This entire proposal has been submitted under seal to the public auditor. But some of the pages were deemed confidential. Could you just take a few moments and look at that confidentiality log and see if that, to the best of your memory, accurately reflects WSI's response? does rec. Thank you. Now I'm going to be showing the witness exhibit E, pages 1 through 5 and 21 through 28. Okay, Mr. Camacho, you said that you were part of the group that developed the scope of work for the ISB. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now I'm going to be showing you on Exhibit E, starting at page 21. Are these your evaluation sheets for the proposals? Evaluation sheets, do they mirror the scope of work that was set out in the IFD?
Yes.
Okay. And according to these evaluation sheets, you found that both proposals met promised to perform all the specifications in the IFD. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you. Now, you testified that you didn't notice a business license. Is that correct? Or I'm sorry.
I wasn't aware that WMSI didn't have a business license.
Okay. Why would you not be aware of anything like that?
We're just there to review the proposals.
Okay. So you looked at the proposals
yes.
and whether they're formed. Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
Mr. Bell, any recross? Or redirect, rather?
Yes, just one question. Sir, you testified about the reason you had the evals on February 16th was because before all the vacations happened, something to that effect?
Well, when we were asked what would be the most convenient time, pretty much everyone said that was the most convenient time we could all meet. We didn't have a date after that because pretty much some people were already going to go on vacation or on leave status, or already on approved leave status, I think.
Were you on vacation during that 2-week period?
No.
I
was part of the evaluation.
No, during that, you testified that the reason you had the evaluation that day was because...
It was the only time where we could all meet to actually do that evaluation.
Do you recall that the bid eval team was given until February 29th to make a
Yes,
decision?
That was... Prickerman mentioned that to us, that we had a time frame up to a certain time to actually complete the review. But based on the schedules that everyone, I guess... mentioned to whoever's the scheduler, said that that's the time that we can all meet.
Well, I'm asking you, based on your personal information, were you on vacation at any time between February, say, 16th and February 29th?
I don't recall being on vacation because I haven't gone on vacation yet.
Do you know of anyone specifically that was on vacation during that time period?
No, not anymore.
Do you have any specific information as to who was unavailable during any time during that period?
Like I said, everything was been done by whoever's the lead scheduler. And I think procurement, I'm not sure whether it was Debbie, but we were all told what date was the most convenient for everyone to meet. I don't recall who, but all I know is that I got an email message that says, this is the time we're going to meet. And I believe we all communicated on what's the best time to meet and what's mostly the time that everyone will be available to meet. And that's the time frame that we all came up with. That's the most convenient time frame to meet and do the evaluation. We spoke in terms of, I'm not sure whether it was right after the meeting, we all decided what kind of date would be best for everyone.
I just want to make sure that I understand your testimony. Are you saying that you were essentially told that was the most convenient date, but
I myself said that date is good for me, that time frame is good for me. Now, I think what happened is, and I'm not, I don't know exactly who came up with the actual time frame or the actual schedule, but all I know is that I submitted my availability time, and that was the one that I came up with myself.
Okay, thank you.
Before we proceed, any recross?
Yes, just a couple quick questions. So, Mr. Camacho, the availability of the web group's time, would that be solely based on people going on leave, or do people have meetings and other scheduled commitments?
Well, we all have other things that we have to do and or other commitments, but I myself, was, I said that I'm available at that time frame. I don't have any issues with that time frame. I'm not going to be on leave. And we all knew also that we have a deadline to meet. And so, you know, we needed to all be in the same area at the same time.
Okay, thank you. Nothing further.
Ms. Quandra, I have a couple of questions. This IFB was to design a new website, correct?
It's to upgrade our current website.
Who designed, prior to the award, who designed the current website that you want to upgrade?
The original web group, I'm not sure who were the actual members, but I know I was involved in the original web group that decided, I think even Kathy Gopi.
No. My question is, who designed it? Was it designed internally, or did you contract it out?
When you say design, are you talking about specifications to the back-end code or to the look and feel? Because design is look and feel. That was a GCC decision. That's the design, the look and feel, how we wanted things to be displayed, how do you want things to be navigated through the website. Behind the scenes, that was done by the outsourced vendor, WSI. We tell them pretty much this is our
concept.
View of our website, which is the design of our website, but we didn't tell them how to code it or how to write the specification behind the scenes. That's what we relied on them for.
Let me rephrase my question then. You said you've been with GCC since 1999.
1989 as an adjunct faculty, okay. But so 1999 as a full time.
Do you recall when GCC first had a website?
Oh yeah, they had a website ever since, but originally we were handling it in-house.
Okay.
I was pretty much the webmaster.
Oh, you were the ones. You were the one.
I was doing that. Well, we also had Wes Gima, and there was another guy, and then we had another PIO that was also Kathleen Moreland. We were involved in the original website.
When was the first time, or let me rephrase, who was the first outsourced contractor having to deal with the website, either the design or the coding? I'm just trying to find out who is the first outside vendor.
I believe it's WSI.
WSI. Okay. So earlier I heard that Guam Webs has done some work for you also. Is that correct?
Earlier when I was in here or earlier before?
It's generally a comment.
Yeah. We've worked with Roger as well.
Okay. What aspect of work did they do? Guam Webs.
Guam Webs, we did two things with them. One is for the guamkids.org website, which was a grant through Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is for the PPEC, the Pacific Post-Secondary Education Council website. And yeah, we communicated with Guam Webs regarding those two projects.
So, but the main website of GCC...
Oh yeah, that's completely separate from the actual GCC website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the main website of GCC...
www.1cc.edu, yes.
Who is the main contractor on the main website?
WSI.
Okay. And how long, do you recall how long they have been the main, or the vendor?
I don't really recall, accurately how long, but I know based on the...
Since at least 2000?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
All I know is that they were the first ones that I can recall
in
the first also. Because before that, you're pretty much handling it mostly in-house, internally from my section or my department.
So just to recap, as the website evolved from either in-house to outsource, WSI has been the primary vendor in whatever aspects of the main website.
That I can recall, yes.
Okay. And that although you have done business with Guam Webs, it was for other, not to handle the main website.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
any redirect from the public auditor's questions? Is there any recross from the public auditor's questions?
No, I don't believe so.
All right, then, Mr. Camacho, I'm going to excuse you as a witness. You are free to go, but I'm going to have to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses until these proceedings are concluded. Understand?
Okay. Understood.
All right, so you're excused as a witness. However, you are subject to recall so long as these proceedings but you can leave the building and
I'm done for today.
Unless you're recalled at some other point, yes. Okay, you may leave.
He is part of my direct case. So.
Oh, is he? I'm sorry, I didn't know that. So. Well, take it back then. You can't leave because you're going to be part of GCC's
yes.
direct case. So
yes.
We're going to escort him back down to the witness room. Yes. And you're the next witness, Mr. Bell. Thank you.
Is he legal?
No, because they're going to call him as a witness.
Oh, you're
going to
call him.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Juan Mendez would like to call Ms. Angela Cabrera, please.
Mr. Camacho, you can go.
Escort him downstairs because he may not know where it's downstairs.
After Ms. Cabrera, Mr. Bell, who are you going to call so we can bring him up?
Ms. Jane Flores, please.
Okay, so have Jane Flores ready.
Have Jane.
Swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Please have a seat.
Mr. Bell, your witness.
Hi, Ms. Cabrera. Hi. What is your position, please?
I'm a graphic artist.
And how long have you been in that position?
About a year and 3 months.
Do you consider yourself an IT person? What is your, do you have familiarity with website design and or servicing?
Web design.
What is your experience with web design?
Mainly layout and just the graphics of a website.
Good. Now, you were part of the bid email team, correct?
Yes.
Do you recall, are you familiar with an instructional memo from Debbie Duenas directing the evaluators to evaluate the bids?
Yes.
Were you on that memo?
Yes.
You were on that memo? Securing the instructional memo on February 16th from Ms. Debbie Duenas directed to Jane Flores and from what I call three other persons requesting that they review the bids.
Which exhibit is this?
That is what we are struggling to find. Let's get that question for now and come back to it.
Please proceed.
Okay. How did you become to be on the bid eval team? Do you recall?
I guess because I would be involved in the website of the layout.
How did you hear about the bid evals? Like, were you, did you get an email or did somebody talk to you?
Oh,
or an email, okay. Do you recall who that email was from?
Either Debbie.
Okay.
Could you Could you speak a little bit louder because you're being recorded?
Okay, thank you. And do you have any training with procurement law? Bid evaluations?
None.
Are you familiar with Mr. Carlos Halihali?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
Maybe about three or four months after my employment date.
Which was when?
February 27th of last year. Okay.
And you met him, I assume, through GCC?
Yes.
Okay. At the time you reviewed the bids, did you consider WSI a local business?
I only knew the company when I started working at GCC. And I was the owner that he was a local business.
And sorry, just to make sure I understand your answer. You believe that it was a local business?
Yes.
What did you base that belief on?
Well, he was stationed here in the island, but I know he has a parent company on that.
Okay. So basically, are you saying that he does some business here, so he's a local business, or that he's based on Guam?
I do not know.
Okay. And as your understanding, as reading the bid, GCC was procuring a 3-year contract and 2 1-year options to renew. Is that correct?
I just evaluated the proposals.
When you evaluated the proposals, did you consider price? Were you looking at pricing, or was that a different department?
No.
Just as far as you know, just the
specifications.
Are you familiar with the language that says that the rejection of the bid will be required if the descriptive literature does not show that the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of the solicitation?
Sorry,
because
I don't understand.
Sure, we have that now, right? And this is Exhibit for the... This is Guam's Exhibit 2, page 35. I'll show opposing counsel.
Exhibit 235.
Read that language starting from rejection, please.
Rejection of the bid is required if descriptive languages do not show that the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of the solicitation. Failure to furnish the descriptive literature by the times specified in the solicitation will be rejected of the bid.
For the record, I don't mind you paraphrasing because with all the parentheses, it does require some paraphrasing, so thank you. As you sit here today, what do you think that language means? Based on your understanding, if WSI lays out the bid specifications and then simply says, we understand and will comply, they've satisfied those specifications?
Sure, yeah.
So your testimony is that they're not required to provide any kind of descriptive literature?
For some specifications.
For some specifications. Did you review each proposal thoroughly? What makes you say that?
I went through each page one by one.
How long did it take you to review Walmart's proposal?
Over maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
Hour and 15 minutes? So you only spent hour and 15 minutes on Walmart's and 45 minutes on WSI? Or sorry. I'm assuming, I apologize. Grand total the time that you spent?
Maybe two or more hours.
2 more hours, okay. So, if you recall, I mean, we have your video about sheet if you need to refresh your memory. It was your evaluation that Guam Webs did not provide or did not address technical support or response time. You gave no credit for Guam Webs, or do you recall that? Okay. And also, does it sound familiar to you, or do you agree that you gave no credit to Guam Webs for having a comprehensive description of services?
Yes, it sounds familiar.
Okay. Do you recall that you gave no credit to Guam Webs for having a plan to review content and recommend improvements? Okay. And you gave no credit to Guam Webs for its plan to make the website user-friendly? And you gave no credit to Guam Webs for its plan to provide a detailed plan on web page navigation?
Yes.
And you gave no credit to Guam Webs for having a plan to provide standardized templates? And you gave, but what is a standardized template?
Just a template that's uniformed.
What is that? What's a template?
Layout.
And you gave no credit to Guam Webs for its plan to provide microsites? And what is a microsite?
As a witness, please speak up.
It's an extended site, aside from the parent site.
Okay. And you gave no credit. Sorry, you gave no credit to Guam Webs for its plan to provide an ADA accessible website. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And as you recall today, why did you give no credit to Guam Webs for those claims?
I found Guam Webs' proposal a bit confusing.
Why how do you mean confusing?
Maybe the evaluation started around the 20th page. The first 20th pages were consisting of his portfolio.
Okay. What time did you begin the evaluation? Do you recall?
No, I don't remember.
Was it in the morning or the afternoon?
Sometime in the morning.
And what day was that, do you recall?
The 16th of February.
February 16th. Do you recall being given until the 29th to review the bids?
No.
Do you know why you met on the 16th?
It would be the most convenient time that everyone planned to meet.
Based on what?
Everyone's schedule.
Well, let's talk about your schedule. What was your schedule between February 16th and February 29th? Were you on vacation during that time?
No. I'm more flexible.
So you could have met any time, at least for yourself.
Sure, but we actually do it as a whole, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, and what do you base that on?
Everyone's schedule.
Well, I mean, you said you do it as a whole. So, do you mean that the Video Gallery team meets as a committee, or all meets together at
yes.
the same time?
That's correct.
Okay. Is that required as far as you're aware?
No, I'm not too sure.
Did you consider? I'm going to pull up Exhibit D, GCC's Exhibit D, page 45, to show opposing counsel. And this refers to the instructional memo from Debbie Duenas to the Video Gallery team.
What page again?
GCC, Exhibit D, page 45. I've been waiting for a moment, sorry.
Mr. Bell, before you proceed,
sure.
I am looking at
Exhibit D, it's not there.
Exhibit D, and you say page 45, but according to this copy I have,
it only goes up to
20. GCC's Exhibit D only goes up to page 36.
I don't know if you pulled from the right thing. This is actually the agency report tab 8, GCC's agency report, so you need to make sure that we use the exhibits that we need to put on our exhibits.
Tab 8, you said?
Yeah, sorry about that. GCC agency report, tab 8. This is the revised edition, it looks like.
Thank you. All right, so if we go to GCC's Exhibit E, page 45, is that...
Okay.
Your...
is that...
Pages and exhibit numbers are not matching up. That's what we're just trying to apologize for.
I think they're fine to get that.
Got it. This would be the February 16th letter?
Correct. This is a memo from Debbie Duenas.
Please proceed.
And do you agree that that's a memo from Debbie Duenas?
Yes.
Who is that memo to?
Jane Flores was the memo. Francisco Camacho and Diego Rivera.
Do you see your name on that memo?
No,
I
don't.
What does it say? What is the subject?
Evaluation bid of GCC FB16006.
Would you agree that if you were assigned to evaluate the bids, you should have been, your name should have been on here?
Yes.
Do you know why your name's not on there?
No, I do not.
Thank you. I apologize if I already asked you this. Are you familiar with local procurement preference?
No.
And so because you didn't evaluate the pricing, is that correct?
I did not.
Okay. When you determined that, you did determine that WSI was responsive and responsible, correct?
Yes.
When you determined that, were you aware that it had not renewed its business license since 2013? In hindsight, did you make any mistakes at all in reviewing the bids?
No, I did not.
Did you make any mistakes?
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Wrightson, your witness.
Thank you. All right, so Ms. Cabrera, were you part of the web group that prepared the scope of work for the IFB?
Yes.
Okay, and you were part of the web group that's been evaluating the bidder's proposals for the IFB, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, did you evaluate the, did the web group evaluate proposals of any favoritism toward any one bidder?
No.
And would the web group have selected Guam Webs if Guam Webs had the lowest price?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Did the web group's evaluation sheets follow the specifications for the IFB's scope of work? Okay, now, you said you had a little bit of difficulty finding Guam Web's responses to the IFB specifications. So, could you explain a little bit of why?
Some of which of Guam Web's proposal was reworded from the IFB specifications.
Okay, but nonetheless, you gave them full credit for everything. And why is it that you gave them full credit?
Because the statement said that he understands and complies.
Okay. So I'm going to be showing the witness Exhibit B, page 53. Hey, could you please read the highlighted section?
Guam Webs agrees to all the items mentioned in the IFB, including those describing requirements and scope of work. Guam Webs indeed can meet and exceed all of the requirements and can complete the scope of work by deadline, indicated in the IFB as July 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Okay, so then when the web group found this statement, even though they had a little bit of trouble finding Guam Web's specific responses to all of the scope of work, when the web group found this statement, then they were assured that Guam Web was going to perform as promised in, for the IFB specs. So that's great. So in the end, you gave Guam Web's full credit for all of the IFB specifications. So I will be showing the witness, this is Exhibit E. Are her evaluation sheets that appear at pages 5 through 12. So now, Mr. Bell asked you about your evaluation sheets that had missing check marks.
I'm sorry, what page again?
Pages 5 through 12.
Thank you.
Okay, so despite the missing check marks for Guam Web's proposals for the IMB specifications, you still gave Guam Web's full credit for all of the studies.
That's correct.
And that's because of the statement that you found on page 53.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So for as part of the team who developed the specs for the IFB's scope of work, did you intend for a full-blown explanation to be given for all of the specifications, or is something similar to saying, I understand the specification, we'll comply with it, it's adequate for some?
Understand is good enough.
Okay. And as part of the web group who evaluated the proposals, you saw the entirety of WSI's proposal, including the confidential pages, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And for the record, I will be showing the witness exhibit H. Okay, this entire proposal has been submitted under seal here with OPA because there's some confidential information in there. Could you take a look, please, at that confidentiality log? And to the best of your memory, does that reflect everything that was presented in WSI's proposal?
Yes.
Okay, did you, all of the pages? You can take your time. Okay, so when a detailed explanation was requested and required for the IFB's specifications, WSI's proposal gave you one. Okay, thank you. Okay, and was the web group worried, concerned at all about the status of any bidder's business license?
The web group only evaluated the proposals.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Mr. Bell, any redirect?
I do want to make sure that I understood your testimony, and I multitask also. If I missed it, I apologize. You testified earlier, if I'm correct, that bid specifications which you reviewed were technical support and response time, comprehensive description of services, reviewing content, recommending improvements, making the website user-friendly, providing a detailed plan for web navigation, providing standardized templates, microsites, and making it ADA accessible. So those are, to your recollection, were those specifications of the IFB?
Yes.
Which you did not give credit to WAMWebs for, is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you testify when Ms. Wrightson that you did give credit, or were you referring to WSI? Did you give WAMWebs, in the end, did you give WAMWebs credit for meeting those specifications
in
his proposal? You did give.
Yes.
How did you give WAMWebs credit for those specifications?
As a web group, as a whole, we came to a conclusion that WAMWebs did meet all the IFB specifications.
So the bid review team determined that both proposals met the specifications. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But you personally did not give WAMWebs credit for meeting those specifications, correct?
No, I didn't.
Because that's what it says on your bid evaluation? I have nothing further. Thank you.
Any recross?
Okay. Just one quick question. So, in the end, the web group found that both proposals met all of the IFB specifications. Is that correct? Thank you. Nothing further.
Ms. Cabrera, well, before I begin, now, are you planning on calling Ms. Cabrera? In your
she is part of my direct case.
All right. So, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time. However, you're going to be called as a witness in GCC's case in chief. So I'm going to have to put you back in the witness holding room. I'm going to order you that while you're there not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses, you understand, until these proceedings are concluded. Thank you. So, you may escort her back to the witness holding area. And Mr. Bell, you may call your next witness.
Well, guys, we'd like to call Ms. Jane Forrest, please.
We're going to
take a 5-minute break.
Yeah. Before we call her, let's take a 5-minute break. We're going to go off the record at 11:30. Thank you.
We're ready to proceed.
We're back on the record at 11:32.
Morning, Ms. Forrest.
Wait. Hang on.
Before we do this, Mr. Bell, we have to swear the witness in.
Please state your name.
Jane Florence.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Did she sign?
Yes, I signed it.
Okay. Good morning, Ms. Forrest.
Good morning.
Could you state your position, please?
I am Assistant Director of Communications and Promotions at Guam Community College.
How long have you been in that position?
It'll be 7 years next month.
How long have you been with GCC overall?
7 years.
7 years. Do you consider yourself an IT person?
No, I am not an IT person.
Can you give me, I know it's an open-ended question, but can you kind of briefly walk me through the bid review process? Have you reviewed bids before?
Yes.
What is, if you're on the bid review team essentially, what is sort of step one? How does the, if it's possible to give a 30-second sort of overall process, would you be able to describe?
You have to budget for your project, and then the procurement office puts out the bid, and then the bids come in, and then you review the bids based on the specs that you put up for the project.
In terms of the bid review process itself, how do you determine who's on the bid review team?
Usually the people who are associated with the project, and then, for example, with the website, we had IT people because they are the experts.
Okay. But you yourself are not an IT person?
No, I'm the Assistant Director of Communications and Promotions.
Of the people that were on the eval team, who do you consider to be IT persons?
Frank Camacho, Dean Rivera, and Wes King.
Okay. Are you required to sit down together at the same time to review the bids, or can you review the bids independently?
We do it together in case any of us who are not IT people have questions.
Okay. Would you basically agree with GCC's position that so long as the bidder says we understand and will comply, then they've met the specification?
Yes.
If that's the case, then what's the point of having IT persons on the bid review team? I don't understand that.
Well, the IT people helped us with the bid specs because I'm not an IT person.
But you're talking about forming the specifications, is that correct?
Correct.
I'm asking about reviewing the specifications. If your testimony is that for reviewing the specifications, WSI simply saying WSI understands and will comply is sufficient to meet the specification, is that correct?
Yes.
So an IT person is not, do you still say that an IT person is, or IT knowledge is needed to review the bid specifications?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know Carlos Howie?
Yes.
How long have you known?
Since WSI won a bid for our first website.
Roughly, what year would you be able to guess?
Five years.
Oh, 5 years? And you met him through GCC as his as a vendor. Did you review?
Could you say that because the, could you say yes or no because it doesn't pick up your nodding?
Okay.
How long have you known? I think was the question.
Five years.
5 years.
Five and a half years.
And just to restate that, and you met him as GCC's vendor or one of them?
Yes.
Okay. Did you review each of the proposals thoroughly?
Yes.
What makes you say that you reviewed them thoroughly?
Because I did.
Well, did you, I mean, you read them. Would you be able to estimate how long it took you to review each proposal?
Probably about 30-40 minutes.
Each? Is that your best guess? Do you recall what time you first...
Could you please say yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you recall what time you began reviewing the bids?
I think it was 10 o'clock. Okay. We kind of reviewed them both together.
Okay. Do you recall the date?
February 16th.
Okay. Do you know why they were reviewed on that date?
I believe it was because we had 2 weeks to review, and it was the earliest date that everybody could get together and be in the same room at the same time.
And what do you base that on?
Because we all talked about it and said, who can be where at what time? And somebody said, I have to do this, and I have to do this. And so we picked that date.
Did you talk
Plus,
about...
Plus, I wanted to get moving.
Okay. Do you recall who you talked to about the date? When was the best time to review to meet?
Everybody who was... I don't know if we talked to everybody, but we... Through email, I think we did. I don't know if I talked to everybody or I did through some people through email saying, can you be here at this time? Can you be here? What's a good date for you? And it's my experience that you should do it earlier than later, because if you only have 2 weeks to review and then you wait till the end and somebody has something to do, then, you know, it becomes a problem.
Were you sort of the head of the bid review team?
Yes.
Did you organize the meeting then?
Yes.
And so did you select the date?
I selected the date based on when everybody could be there.
Okay. And so the best, if you don't recall, that's okay. But to the best of your recollection, you emailed the people on the bid review team?
Some of them I talked to, and some of them, I don't think everybody was there. Not everyone was there at the bid opening. But some of the people were there at the bid opening. I think Angela and Frank and Wes were there at the bid opening. And I said, okay, when's a good date? Okay, if this is the best date then for you guys, then I'll email everybody else and we'll do it on this date. I think that's how it went.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Do you recall emailing Miss Angela Cabrera?
She works in my office, so I just told her.
Okay. Do you recall who, did you receive an instruction to review the bids? An instructional memo? Does that sound familiar?
I think Jolene does a formal thing, yes.
Was it, do you maybe recall seeing a memo from Debbie Duenas to review the bids?
Jolene or Debbie, one of the two.
Okay.
I think so.
Do you know how Angela Cabrera was selected to review the bids?
She's on our website group team, and she's part of the team that we have a web group that is actually putting together the specs and deciding what we want in the website. She's on that team.
Do you have any reason why, I can show you the memo if you want to refer to that, but if I told you that Debbie Duenas sent an instructional memo to 4 people to review the bids, would you agree with that, or does that sound familiar?
I would have to look at the memo.
exhibit. This is our Guam Webs exhibit 2, page 56. I'm showing the GCC Council. Ms. Morris, could you please tell me the date of the memo?
February 16th.
And who is that memo from?
Debbie.
And who is that memo to?
Me.
Is there anyone else that's listed in the two section?
Wes Frankentine.
Is Ms. Angela Cabrera on there?
No.
Do you know why she's not on there?
Perhaps because she is my employee in my office, and maybe didn't put her on there because she thought that I would bring her anyway. So I don't know why.
Thank you.
But she's on our web group, so.
Thank you.
I don't think Debbie knows everyone who's in the web group.
Okay. Do you know who, how does the web group get made? Who designates the web group?
Me.
You do? Okay. Do you recall language from the IFB stating that rejection of the bid will be required if the descriptive literature does not show the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of the solicitation, or something to that effect?
Something like that.
What does that language mean to you?
That you have to meet all the specs.
It does just describe descriptive literature, correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
Generally speaking, with procurement law, what is descriptive literature?
I'm not the person that deals with procurement, so I don't really know.
Okay, no problem. And then, would you also say that you don't know what it means to show that the product conforms to the specifications?
Well, since I wrote the specs, I know if the product conforms, I mean, based on their bid, I would look at the specs, and if they meet all of our specs, then yes.
But I thought you said you're not an IT person.
I'm not.
But you wrote the specs?
I wrote the specs with help from the web group, which contains IT people. If you...
Sorry, no, it's okay. Did you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. So... I'm a little bit confused. Would you say, okay, as far as WSI responding to the specifications, if WSI says WSI understands and will comply to any particular specification, has it met that specification?
I believe so, yes.
So it doesn't, your opinion is WSI doesn't need to explain how it's going to meet or what it's going to do to any specification. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that if I recall the bid correctly, they had literature, as did Guam Webs, in their proposal that explained what they do, how they do it, examples, and so both bidders I knew had higher ed expertise.
Okay.
And that's what we were looking for, is somebody who knew how to do a higher ed website, because what higher ed websites are a different animal than your basic website. And both of them had that expertise, and both of them put that in the proposal. And so when WSI or when Guam Web said, understand and will comply, then, you know, we took that to mean that they would.
So when you did use a bid evaluation sheet, correct?
Yes.
And that bid evaluation sheet went essentially specification by specification.
Yes.
Right? It's either yes or no, it's met or not.
Right.
Would you agree?
Yes.
So, again, I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. As long as WSI says it understands and will comply, that you would check the box because it's met that specification. Well, and I understand you said that you wrote the specifications with assistance from somebody who
from
wasn't.
From our expert, from our IT guys.
Does it take an IT person to review the bid to see if it met the specs?
It doesn't take an IT person alone. but we needed to have, I wanted to have IT people because I'm not an IT expert, but my job does not require me to be an IT expert. That's why we have IT experts at GCC, because not everyone who reviews a bid is an expert in every single aspect of that project.
But if, why would it take, if all that's needed for WSI is to simply claim WSI understands and will comply, and if WSI had said, we reviewed their, literally just wrote in its proposal, WSI has reviewed all the specifications, understands and will comply with them, would that blanket statement cover the entire checklist? Would you then, based on that statement, mark every single item as met?
Well, no, their proposal, as was Guam Web's, was way more thorough than that. They had, like I said, they had intro things and they had expertise. They had letters, as did Guam Web's. They explained what they do, how they do it. And so it wasn't, I mean, if they had given me a sheet of paper that said WSI understands and will comply, and that was the only thing they submitted, no.
So what you're saying then is, in and of itself, simply claiming WSI understands and will comply is insufficient for you to determine that it's met any specification referred to. Would you agree with that?
No.
No, you wouldn't agree.
No.
Okay, so I'm confused again. We're talking about a bid evaluation sheet, correct?
Right.
And on that bid evaluation sheet, it's word for word individual specifications from the bid packet, correct?
Our bid evaluation sheet contained all of the specs that we put together in the bid packet.
Correct. So you're going, as a bid reviewer, you're going item by item on the bid eval sheet, and you're trying to determine whether or not you check that box or not, correct?
Yes.
And if Guam Web's, sorry, I apologize, if WSI simply says, for example, if the IFB had said, making the website ADA accessible is a requirement, how would you determine if WSI had met that requirement?
Well, I believe that they said understands and will comply, but previously in their proposal, they had said somewhere that we have done these websites that are ADA compatible. So because they had explained, it wasn't just a blanket, they didn't just give me a statement. They had a whole proposal, as did Guam Web's, that explained how they, where they do their work, how they do their work, things like that. So if you're asking me if this is the only statement and we go by only that statement, no, we do not go by only that statement. We went by the entire proposal.
You review the packet thoroughly to
see. The proposal.
Sorry, thank you. You review the proposal thoroughly to see if they've met that requirement. More than by simply saying we understand and will comply.
Well, because we started from page one of the proposal, which had a whole bunch of things submitted with it.
Thank you.
Do you understand now?
I do, thank you. Now, if you recall, and I can bring up the memo if you need to refresh your memory, there was a memo from you to, after you reviewed the bid eval team, reviewed the bid. After that, did you submit a memo to Jolene Evangelista?
Yes.
Do you recall what that memo said?
It said something like, we reviewed the bid specs and the lowest bidder was WSI, and we look forward to working with WSI as the lowest bidder.
Okay. And did you find that WSI was more responsive than Guam Web's?
I believe they were both responsive.
But you didn't find that WSI was more responsive than Guam Web's, correct?
No.
And you didn't find that WSI was more responsible than Guam Web's, did you?
I believe the responsible part is our procurement departments.
Okay.
They do the responsible part because checks and things like that are involved.
Okay. At the At the time you reviewed the bids, did you consider WSI a local business?
Yes.
Specifically on, based on what?
Because they were our previous website developer.
Okay.
And they were local then, and I don't think they moved off the island, so.
So at least your analysis of procurement law is that if you...
I don't analyze procurement law.
No problem, but at least under the facts, you considered...
Our procurement office said these are the two bids, and so we evaluated the two bids.
Did you evaluate one way or the other if WSI was a local business?
That's not part of our job.
Okay. Were you in a hurry to have WSI start?
No. I mean, WSI, I wanted to start the project. I just wanted to start the project. I didn't really have a preference as to who won the bid.
And as far as why, you agree that February 29th was the date to make a selection, at least based on the memo. But your testimony is that you met on the 16th because that was the...
I think it was the 16th.
Okay. Would you agree that you owed it to both bidders to take your time reviewing both bids and comparing the bids?
Could you answer yes or no, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And the thing that GCC was procuring was essentially a 3-year contract as well as 2 1-year options to renew. Is that correct? Do you know who wrote that specification?
I believe Jolene wrote that specification because that is part of our procurement procedures.
Okay. And I'm assuming that you don't... Your bid review team, does it compare the price or is that a different department?
We compare the specs. We are told by the procurement department to compare the specs, and if both of the companies meet all the specs, then we have to go with the lowest bidder.
So you do review the pricing, is that correct?
Because the pricing is there, and if both of them meet the specs, then we do look at the price and say, okay, yes.
What is the price that you review?
The price we review is I believe it was the 1 year.
Why would you review the first year?
I believe that's what we were told to do.
Who were you told to do that by?
Jolene.
Jolene said to just base your decision on the first year?
Right, because we couldn't base it on, or it was the 3 year, I believe. First year or 3 year, I think. I'm not quite sure right now, but she told us that we couldn't do all 5 years because the fourth and fifth year were not, that they had to be renewed, so we could only do it based on the contract.
But GCC did not procure a 3-year contract. Did you agree with that? That it wasn't just a 3-year contract? I'll back up for a moment. Was GCC procuring a 3-year web services contract?
I believe it was a 3-year contract. Oh, wait. No, I can't remember if it was 1 year or... No, it was 3 years with option to renew.
Right.
For an additional 2 years. But it was 3 years with an option to renew for additional 2 years, but it was yearly. But your option to renew is 1 year at a time.
Okay, right? So let's say WSI submitted a proposal just as a 3-year contract. Would that have been an acceptable proposal?
Objection. I fail to see the relevance of this.
Chevelle, on the objection to relevance?
The relevance is that GCC, again, months into this appeal process, has crafted a new argument. Their new argument is that really it was at most a 3-year contract. So it's a very, very extremely relevant point because we've said from the very beginning, if Guam Webs gets the local procurement preference and WSI does not, the math alone, it's done. The Guam Webs wins the bid because or at least WSI would not win the bid because both bidders were found responsive and responsible. So then it goes down to pricing. Well, if it goes down to pricing, then our submittal is we agree the whole 5 years, which in fact the bid contract says. It compares the actual 5 years and says
and shows the total. It says grand total on the bottom of the bid abstract. And so, logically, if you're procuring a three-year contract, sure, you compare the 3 years. If you're procuring a three-year contract plus two options to renew, you have to consider those options. That's part of the deal. And so, analogies, just on these facts, what GCC was procuring was a three-year contract plus 2 1-year options to renew. So yes, it's true that GCC has the option to whether to exercise that contract, but that's exactly my point. GCC has the option to renew. It's actually a benefit conferred upon GCC in exchange for this price. You have to consider the whole 5 years. And in fact, GCC's recommendation...
I understand your argument and its relevance on this. Wrightson, is there any response to that?
Yes, thank you. This contract, the IFB, the contract is clearly for 3 years with two annual options to renew. And that's on Exhibit D, if you look at page 25, 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph down. It says, Guam Community College is seeking services to redesign, develop, host, and maintain a mobile responsive GCC website for a 3-year contract period with option to renew annually for 2 additional consecutive years.
As it does, part of his argument does relate to the time frame and the price, the various prices. I'm going to overrule your objection, Mr. Bell. Please proceed.
I won't get this to death, I promise. I just want to make sure that I understood your testimony. WSI had submitted its proposal and it only described 3 years. Would that have been an acceptable proposal?
I guess so. I would have to defer to the procurement office.
If your answer is you're not sure.
I'm not sure. I would have to. They pretty much tell us the rules.
Okay, no problem. Did we talk about yours? When you determined, did you determine one way or the other if WSI had license?
That's not part of our report. The proposal doesn't contain the license.
Did you know one way or the other if WSI had a license? Thank you so much. I think that Ms. Wrightson might have.
Ms. Wrightson, your witness. Okay.
Hello, Ms. Flores. Ms. Flores, you were part of the web group that prepared the scope of work for the IFB, is that correct?
Yes.
And you were part of the web group that evaluated the bid proposals for the IFB. We established this, correct? Now, for the record, do you know why the web group evaluated the proposals on February 16th?
As I explained to Mr. Bell, I believe that was the date that everybody could meet. And I didn't want to, it's been my experience that if you wait, then somebody has something to do, or it comes up, or somebody's sick. And so I didn't want to wait till the end and then not meet the procurement's 2-week time frame because they're not very happy when you don't meet.
Okay, thank you. Now, did the web group evaluate proposals without any favoritism toward any bidder?
Yes, they did. There was no favoritism.
No favoritism. So now, if the web group found that both bidders met all of the IFB's specifications, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so if GuamWeb had offered...
Yes.
And so if GuamWeb had offered the lowest price, the web group would have recommended GuamWeb.
Absolutely.
For the contract.
Absolutely.
I'm going to show you Exhibit E, and Ms. Flores' evaluation sheets are located at page 29 through 33. Okay, so these evaluation sheets, these are your evaluation sheets, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And those evaluation sheets mirror the
specifications.
What exhibit?
It's Exhibit E.
What page?
I believe those are pages
29, 30, 31.
actually.
35. 35.
And so your evaluation sheets mirrored the specifications in the IFB, is that correct?
Yes.
And did the web group have any difficulty evaluating the proposals? Were everything...
Both proposals were very, very nice. And we had, you know, we went down, you know, because we put together the qualifications based on the bid specs. And so I think that WSI put together their proposal in the order so it was a little bit easier to find things. And Guam Web said, very nice proposal, but it was a little bit not out of order, but they chose a different order.
Okay, thank you. Now, did Guam Web give detailed explanations for every single specification?
Not everyone, no.
Then how is it that the web group determined that Guam Web said promised to perform all the specifications in the scope of work?
Well, they had some very detailed specifications, and then for the some of them they said, you know, we'll comply. And then there were a couple that we couldn't exactly find the where the spec matched the thing, because it was a very, like I said, the proposal was a little bit in a different order. But then I think it was page 53, number 7, they said, we understand all of the specifications and we will comply with all of the specifications. And so we said, okay, well, you know what? They know what they're doing. You know what, UOG's website is beautiful. They know what they're doing. So we're going to, the ones that we couldn't find, we said, okay, we're going to give it to them. Because we know that they know what they're doing.
Okay, and I'm going to show the witness Exhibit B at page 53. And could you please read the highlighted section?
Guam Web agrees to all items mentioned in the IFB, including those describing requirements and scope of work. Guam Web indeed can meet and exceed all those requirements and can complete the scope of work by deadline indicated in the IFB as July 1st, 2016.
Thank you. So, even though you couldn't find the specific detailed explanations for all of the specs, then you decided that Guam Web's understood and was going to comply with the specs based on this.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Now, you saw the entirety of WSI's proposal, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and we've submitted under seal, there were some confidential pages there. We've submitted some pages under seal. The entirety of the proposal has been submitted under seal with OPA. And we put together a confidentiality log. So I'm showing you Exhibit H. If you could take a couple minutes and look through that confidentiality log. Now, to the best of your memory, I know it's been a while since we looked at all these things, would you say that confidentiality log adequately summarizes WSI's responses?
Yes.
In the bid? Thank you. Okay, now we've heard a lot about understand and will comply. Is that a proper, when you said a proper response to the IFB's specifications, did you mean that for all of the IFB's specifications?
No, there were explanations that they didn't put understand will comply for all of them. But like I explained, in the front of the proposal, there were a bunch of explanations of how they will do, have done things, and Guam Web's did the same thing, but Guam Web's was kind of throughout theirs.
Okay, so as one of the developers for this, the scope of work for the IFB, you didn't necessarily think that a detailed explanation was required for every single specification of the IFB. Is that correct?
No, because they put some of the stuff in the front of the proposal.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just show you a copy. So we're gonna look at Exhibit E again. At page 4, and this was your memo to Ms. Evangelista in the procurement office, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this memo says that you found both proposals met all of the scope of work, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so the web group said everybody met. Both bidders
yes.
promised to do everything, so we're going to look at the lowest price.
Correct.
Okay. And so
correct.
Based on the lowest price, then you recommended that WSI be awarded the contract.
Correct.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Mr. Bell, any redirect? Please proceed.
Okay, so, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is earlier you testified simply saying we understand the local plan for any bidder is not sufficient in and of itself, correct?
Well, if they just did it, if they just submitted a sheet that said we understand and comply with all the bids, if they just gave me one piece of paper that said we understand and comply, of course not.
What if for 30 specifications they simply put 30 times WSI understands the local comply? Is that sufficient in and of itself? To check that box.
In and of itself, without the rest of the proposal?
Correct. Literally, all they did was restate the if WSI literally restates the language from the IFB, but once any particular spec, and then says WSI understands and will comply, by itself, is that enough information for you to check that box as having met the specification?
That's not what they did.
What I'm asking, we might disagree on that. In fact, your testimony, if I recall, was they didn't do that for all questions. For some questions, they put WSI understands and will comply. And your testimony, if I'm correct, and you can please do correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying, well, they generally describe other things in other areas. And so based on those representations, I'm assuming that they described somewhere how they're going to do that.
Well, they had described earlier in the proposal how they were going to do how they were going to do things.
So then, are you saying that you need to find it in the bid proposal where it
mm-hmm.
says how they're going to accomplish that?
Right.
So you agree with that? You also said for Guam's proposal, and I'm paraphrasing you, so please feel free to correct me. Basically saying, and I agree with you, it's a long proposal. It goes about 100 pages, does that sound correct? Some of it's just graphics and pictures, but maybe about, what would you guesstimate the number of pages that were, it was actually descriptive literature, do you recall?
No.
That's okay. Whatever the case, what you're saying is, it's a lot of stuff that Longwood's wrote. And so what you said was, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you said was, I can't really follow it, but since they...
I didn't say that I couldn't follow the whole thing. There were a few points, possibly two, that we couldn't exactly find the exact language that was in our IFB that was there. We couldn't find it in the proposal, but it was similar. And then when we found that, we'll understand we found that phrase on page 53, number 7, which is basically the same thing that WSI had, you know, understands and will comply with everything. So.
But similarly, right, so if WAMWES, so are you saying that when you were reviewing WAMWES' bid,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I understand you, at some point, WAMWES had said something to be effective, Guamwebs understands and will comply with all the bid specifications.
Yes.
And basically that was what convinced you to check mark the boxes, even though you couldn't find
This has been asked and answered.
Yeah, I think it was only two things.
Hold on. Mr. Bell, on the objection of asked and answered.
I don't know that it has been, because I'm asking for, this is something that she just brought up on the last bit of testimony.
You elicited quite a bit of testimony to this extent. I'll allow you to go briefly further, but I'm going to say that this probably has been asked and answered.
One last question, if I may. What you're saying is that with WalmWebs' bid review, WalmWebs' statement that WalmWebs understands and will comply with the specs wasn't by itself alone. You also had to review the proposal. That's all I wanted to confirm. I just want to make sure.
Can you please say yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any requests?
I guess one quick question. So the web group found that both bidders' proposals promised to meet all the specs. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Nothing further?
Thank you. Along that same question, when you found both bidders to be responsive, why was WSI selected?
Because they had the lowest bid price. Based on what our procurement said, if both are responsive, then we have to go with the lowest price.
Okay. So going through all of this, the committee took the time to evaluate. You found both bids were responsive. Then the final determining factor was price and nothing else.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any redirect concerning public auditor's questions?
No, thank you.
And any recross concerning the public auditor's questions?
No.
And is Ms. Flores going to be one of your witnesses?
She is part of my direct cases.
Very well. So, Ms. Flores, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time. However, you can't escape. You have to return after lunch because you're going to be a witness again for GCC's case in chief. Sorry. So, but you're excused, and I'm going to have to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses until these proceedings are complete. Thank you. So you're excused for that.
And who will be the first witness after lunch? So we can let her know.
I guess it could be Dr. Carl's going to be here anyway, so I guess it would make sense to do Ms. Jolene Evangelista.
So Jolene Evangelista
Just a suggestion. Debbie Duenas is not part of my direct case, if you wanted to clear out witnesses that are not going to be recalled again later. Jolene Evangelista is part of my direct case, but Debbie
Duenas hasn't been called at this time. So did you want to call Debbie Duenas?
Yes, and I think that's right. For point that I should have said Debbie Duenas first.
All right, okay. So we will start at 1:30 with Debbie Duenas as your witness, okay?
Yes, so she should be up here already.
Okay, thank you.
And who are you going to call after Debbie Duenas?
Then it would be Jolene Evangelista.
So let them know in that order.
All right, we're going to break for lunch. And we're going off the record. Now we will return at 1:30. We can be. Thank you.
Okay. And will the room be secure?
Yes.
So
you
so
can leave all.
Here,
so yes, we're leaving all of our things here. So you can leave all your things, and be rest assured it will be locked up.
Off the record at 12:14 p.m.
I'm very sad if I lost my computer.